Mr. Bob Carlisle.
Are you ready for the storm? Are you ready for the storm? And of course, I'm going to be talking about a spiritual storm, but also being ready for a physical storm or physical calamities when these things like this happen is a good thing to think of. And we're all getting ready to go to the feast, and I don't know where you're going, but no matter where you go, you should be somewhat at least prepared for what could happen, because you can be traveling, whether by bus or train or automobile. There's always things out there that can interfere, that can be looked at as a storm of trouble coming your way. They put this little note on our door. We came home and said, well, there's a hurricane that could be coming. We recommend that you have several gallons of water. Something my wife and I have always done is buy a quantity of water anytime we go anywhere or travel anywhere. The next day, we were down at the grocery store buying groceries. There were no gallons of water on the shelf at all. All the quarts were gone. Everyone was down now to buying flats of the little bottles like this or the ones slightly larger, because people were trying to prepare and be ready for what might happen. They recommend we have water, canned goods, a manual can opener. When you store canned goods for a survival situation, it's always a good idea to have a can opener. Batteries for the flashlights that you obviously should have, spare batteries, baby food and diapers for people who that might be a situation, pet food if you have a pet, and prescription drugs, of course. Now, this is my shaving kit. Well, that's what I call it anyway. And I've been traveling with this bag for many, many years, and we travel quite a bit. This is my little safety net. And I take this with me anytime I travel, even if it's just for a weekend. And I do actually have a razor in it and a pair of scissors, something that those of us, like myself, have a beard, might need. But I also have a number of other items. I said I have a set of glasses, 300s. So if anybody gets injured and I need to be able to see something close or remove something, I have them. I also have an extra set of glasses. I carry an extremely strong flashlight that I can signal with. Something I recommend anytime you travel anywhere, and something I have in my car, 2 Bic lighters. I also carry a compass. 2 Bic lighters. The ability to make fire is something that cannot be underestimated in an emergency situation. If you need to boil water, if you need to heat an instrument to cauterize a wound, if you need to be able to signal someone to stay warm, there are innumerable things that you need fire for. I will give you one example, just briefly. And some of you have heard the story before, so I'll go through it pretty quickly. When I was 20 years old, I was with my wife up in the mountains. We were in a four-wheel drive. I was with a good friend of mine and his wife, who was 8 months pregnant. And we were in a sand wash, actually, for 26 miles up this canyon to my grandfather's old mining claims. And the Jeep broke down. So I had a shotgun with me and about a half a box of shells. I was shooting some rabbits to take back to my grandfather, who eats rabbits. And we had a pistol along with us and a few rounds. At this point, someone has to walk out and get help. Someone has to stay with the ladies. Obviously, neither one of them. My wife was pregnant also at the time, but I think 6 months, 6 or 7 months. But the other woman was a full 8 months plus, and she was really big too. So we're in a Jeep with no roof and no doors. No protection from the elements or the animals. It so happens to be that this was in Arizona. It was a really bad year. And the wolves were so aggressive, the Mexican wolves, and they're a very large wolf, by the way. They're very much like a timber wolf. Were so aggressive, they were pulling down cattle and killing them. We were on the 111 ranch at the time. So the other man opted to walk out. He knew a shortcut to cut off a few miles off the 26 miles that I didn't know, because the only way I'd ever been there was drive down the road straight up the wash. He could cut diagonally, so we opted for him to carry the pistol and go cross country. I was left with the ladies. I know the Mexican wolves are there. I know they're going to come. So we stockpiled wood, get a big pile of wood going to be able to prepare to defend ourselves. I don't smoke. My wife doesn't smoke. My friends don't smoke. There's no matches in the car. There's no lighter in the car. There's no cigarette lighter. It's a 1941 military Jeep. No cigarette lighter. So I ended up taking a box, the shotgun shell box, and taking a bunch of Kleenex and putting in it and some grass, and I cut a shotgun shell in half and poured gunpowder in it, and I took a tire iron and a piece of wire off of the car I cut somewhere else and put it against the battery into the box, set the gunpowder off, and lit the box on fire and got a fire, which, before the night was over, literally saved our lives. Because I was shooting Mexican wolves all night long. I was down to just two or three shells in the morning. If I hadn't had that bonfire going and I hadn't been able to get the girls in tight to the fire and keep that between me and the wolves, I know it would not have turned out well. An extreme situation, but if you walk out to my car in the parking lot right now, there's two big lighters in the glove box. We're not doing that one again. But I carry string, I carry cord, I carry a Leatherman, which is a pair of pliers that also has screwdrivers and stuff on it. I carry a length of wire. I carry 3 feet of duct tape wrapped around a pencil. And I carry a roll of 1-inch athletic tape, so if someone sprains a knee or an ankle or something, I can help them. And the first thing I do whenever I'm traveling with someone and they're staying in my room, I tell them about this bag and I show them where it's at. So when we got back to our room, the two candles were there. I got my 2 8-hour candles out and put them in different locations in the room and put a big lighter next to each one so that all of us would have access to lighting if we needed it throughout the room. Just an instance of being prepared for something that might come along. I recommend something at least similar to this when you travel because you never really know. I cannot tell you how many times I've taken that piece of cord out and put up a clothesline to dry clothes because we got drenched or the power went out and clothes couldn't get washed that we're supposed to, or we couldn't get them dried. Or one time in Africa, my suitcase, the zipper tore out full all the way around. And I was not in a place, there are not many places in all of Africa you can buy a suitcase. And I was not in one of them. And so I took my knife and I cut holes every 3 inches all the way around the lid and the body. And I got the piece of cord out and I laced it through and I sewed it shut to make the trip home. So you never know what might happen. You never know what might happen. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Let's talk about the storm. Put my glasses back in the bag. Now there's two pair in here. I need that pair back. We're warned that we're going to have to face a storm. Let's read a scripture or two about that. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, and verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, out of control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godlessness but denying of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. We live in a perilous time. No matter how good a life you live as a Christian, there is so much fallout from the evil going on around us, whether it's someone on the road that's drunk, someone that doesn't care and maintain their car, somebody that's driving a vehicle that knows doesn't have good brakes. There are so many things going on wrong around us constantly because nobody has any kind of a conscience these days. So many people just really don't care what's going on and what's happening. And we're being warned that that's the age that there is going to be. This is the age that these things are going to happen. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And I'm going to read 3 through 13, verses 3 through 13. Of course, Now at this time they sat at the Mount of Olives. Disciples all came to him privately. So the disciples are coming to Christ and they're asking him, tell us, when will these things be? And what will this be the sign of your coming and the end of this age? And trust me, we are living in the end of this age. And Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. We've got wars and wars on top of wars, wars within wars. It is such a mess out there. We've had an army in the Middle East now for years, and we can't get out. We're on the third president who said, I will get you out, and we're still there. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. In other words, it's going to still get worse than that yet. For the nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. There are very powerful movements around this world against Christians. All Christians, not just those of us in this room. There are very powerful things happening in the world, and you can watch the Middle East and you can see what's happening and see these things building in these other countries. We are not going to be insulated forever. And then many will be offended and will be betrayed in one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because the lawlessness will abound and the love of many will be back cold. But he who endures, this is a key I'm going to come back to. He who endures to the end shall be saved. This is the gospel, and that's, I'm reading 2:13, am I right? Yes. So, step one. He who endures will survive to the end. What we're talking about here is being ready for the storm. We know the storm is coming. We know the end time is coming. We know that things are going to get perilous in this end time. But there are certain things we have to do to survive. We need to be ready for the storm. We need to be prepared. We have a survival kit that we need to have intact. We need to be prepared for what's coming so that we can be prepared to survive. Let's go to Revelation 21 in verse 7. Revelation 21 and in verse 7. Oops. Revelation, is it 21:7 or 2? It is 21:7. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's the goal. That's where we want to end up after this storm. That's where we want to be headed during the storm that is coming on. But you see, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. So we need to be able to endure. We need to be able to overcome. Let's turn back to Revelation 3. Just a few pages. And verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth. So we need to be able to endure, to overcome and persevere. How do we accomplish that? How do we accomplish that? With God's Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to give you a key scripture at the end of this sermon. And it's going to be the last thing that I read to you. It is a law. It is an axiom. It is a postulate. It is an absolute guaranteed law that if you understand and obey this scripture, you will have God's Holy Spirit. And you will move forward and be prepared for what is coming towards you. Water is one of the most primary first things that is in any survival kit in virtually any situation. Even when you're in snow or the cold, if you eat snow, you can get hypothermia, You can shock your heart and actually have a heart attack. It's dangerous. You need liquid water. And whether in the warning they gave us, or if you noticed, there are two hurricanes that were going through the Caribbean that we were also watching on TV while we were watching. It was, which hurricane are we watching? I don't know. Is that theirs or is that ours on the TV? So we're watching the two hurricanes down in the Caribbean and, of course, praying for those people and watching for the one we had. And I saw there was a picture of a store there. And they were going through the store and all the water and all the canned goods were gone off all the shelves because people were preparing. They were getting ready for the storm. They were preparing themselves for what they knew inevitably, very potentially, could happen. We know this storm is absolutely going to come. It's guaranteed. Let's go to John 14:26. John 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. There's a reason that those of us in this room that have God's Holy Spirit and those of us who are beginning to understand and understanding what is in this Bible can see things that other people cannot. This seems so obvious to us. But when other people read it, or we try to tell our friends, or we try to tell our family, they look at you like you're nuts. What do you mean you're supposed to go to church on Saturday? Are you nuts? The reason we understand that is because the Holy Spirit opens your brain and your mind to understand it. It's a gift from God to bring you closer to Him so He can communicate with you and you can communicate with Him. Because in the very bottom line, when this is all done, it comes down to your relationship with God and God's relationship with you personally. It's like this kid I travel with. It's a help. It'll help me. If you're with me, it'll help you some. But it isn't everything. It can't be. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. So our survival kit is God's Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to have, and that's what we need to do, endure the storm that we know is coming straight at us. 8 and in verse 14, and I'm going to read through verse 18. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, to whom we cry out, Father Abba. We are not indentured by the Holy Spirit. We are given freedom, and we are made children of God by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness that our spirit, that we are children of God. And if the children, then we are heirs. We are to inherit the kingdom of God. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings, now listen to what he's saying, because they were being persecuted heavily at the time. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The end justifies the endurance you go through to get there. I remember training for a 26-mile race, and just before the race, I broke my ankle in a car accident, wasn't able to do it. But when you prepare for a long-distance race, when you prepare to endure a 26-mile run, you don't think about how bad your legs hurt. You do not concentrate on the muscles in your legs. You do not think about how bad the small of your back hurts. What you think about is, I'm a fourth of the way through, I'm half the way through, I'm three quarters, I'm fine. I can see myself crossing that line. I'm looking at the goal at the end of the run. If you focus on how much pain you're in and how difficult it is, you're going to stop running and you're going to be taken out of the race. We all go through tests and trials. I know it's difficult, but you can't build the character you have to have to get to this goal unless you're tested. And we all know that. We've all heard sermons. I've given them. You've listened to them. He's given them. I've listened to them. We all know this is not going to be a cakewalk. And we have to realize, you know, we're about to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's looking to a time after the storm. We have to get through the storm first. So my goal today is to prepare you for the storm that's coming so that we can get to what we're going to celebrate in a few weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, the kingdom of God here on earth, when things will start to get straightened out for a change. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. There are many of us in this room who are approaching middle age. And it hurts a little when you get up in the morning, doesn't it? Sometimes it hurts a lot. And I read this scripture, and even though our outward man is perishing, and I look at that and think, yes, I cannot deny this. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, the Holy Spirit in us. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've had a relationship with God. Every day, every hour, every minute that you spend accumulates. The more you talk to God, the more you study with God, the more you meditate on God, the more time you spend with God. If it's just doing some mundane, stupid job at work and you don't have to exercise your brain and you're thinking and talking about God, every single second adds up and counts, and you're better for it in every single step. It's accumulative. It's a relationship that we have to make it tight. We have to be close to our God. And it's through God's Holy Spirit. Until that veil was torn in half in the middle of the temple, until Christ died and was resurrected and went up to God and was accepted, we couldn't talk to God because we were sinners and he couldn't listen to us. But now we have God's Holy Spirit. Now our sins are forgiven. Now that door is open. And we need to walk through that door and take advantage of it. Let's go to Acts 5:32. Acts 5 and in verse 32. And we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to us who obey him. We're back to that rule thing, having to do things. It is not free. You do not say the name Jesus Christ and instantly you're going to go and enter the kingdom of God. It does not work like that. Christ said, those who obey me know me. Those who keep my commandments I love and love me. We have to obey, we have to perform, we have to do. And we can never forget that. But in obedience, you get endurance, you get experience. When you do the right thing, every time you make the right decision, every time you resist an opportunity to do something wrong, every time you start to think of something wrong and you put it out of your mind and you take control back of your mind and put it back on track, you are strengthening the Holy Spirit in you, and you are building it and strengthening it, and it is what is going to save you and carry you through your relationship with God. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:22-23. And of course, anytime talking about the Holy Spirit, we're going to end up almost inevitably in Galatians and reading about the fruits of the Spirit. The thing I want to focus on today, though, we'll read through it first, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Let's go back now. We're talking about being able to endure through a difficult time. And I look at this list, and the things take a different meaning. The love we have for one another and for God will strengthen us in times of trial. The joy we have is spiritual. It isn't the joy the world has. It can endure, and we can actually smile in times of difficulty, knowing that this is temporary and we're almost there. Peace. We can have peace of mind and sleep even though we know that everything is going to go down the toilet, because we know who is going to win. We know that Christ is going to take this world back and rule this world. Long-suffering. You have to endure. That's a scripture we just read. You have to endure. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We have to remain faithful to one another and to God. Gentleness and self-control. Self-control is very important because we don't have someone standing tapping us on the shoulder, except in here, except what God has given us. His Holy Spirit is our conscience, which is why so many people in this world can do some of the horrible things that they do. They don't have the conscience of Jesus Christ and God Almighty. They don't have God's Holy Spirit. They don't even look at things the same as we do. And there's a difference. And the difference is immense. It's huge. It's very huge. John 4:24. We're going to go to that rule now. That law I told you about. That's going to make all the difference for us. John 4 and in verse 24. And these are Jesus Christ's words himself. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You have to have God's Holy Spirit strong within you to be able to communicate with God and to have a relationship with God that you're going to really, really need. Things are going to get difficult. We know that. We don't concentrate on this. We like to talk about the feast. Everything's going to get fixed. Christ is going to return. But we heard Mr. Marchbanks. We're going to be shoveling bodies for 7 months, burning weapons and destroying weapons. It's going to take years and years to clean the mess up that we're going to be left with. But first, we have to survive what is going to cause all of that catastrophe. There is a huge storm coming, but we can endure it. And what we need to endure it is God's Holy Spirit, a relationship with God that is close. So when the times get difficult, we can rely on him and we can know that he's going to be there for us. The time to prepare is not when the storm is on your door. The time to prepare is now. Buy the water before you get to the store and there's nothing there to buy. I think of the parable of the virgins. You know, need to go buy oil. They weren't ready. Well, we need to be ready. We know the storm is coming. We know the end time is going to be difficult. I believe it's very close. I think most of us in this room do. What I want to encourage you to do is let's be prepared for it. Let's be strong. Let's meditate on God's word. Let's build a close relationship with our God, so when the time comes, we have an adequate amount of God's Holy Spirit. That water that symbolizes the Spirit of God in us to survive that difficult time.